Although you have not seen God, you love God. And even though you do not see God now, you believe and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So there's a popular saying that's one of those cliches or proverbs that's infuriating. Because on the one hand, it's an insulting affront to everything that we in our culture like to believe about ourselves. And on the other hand, it's probably true. The saying is this, I'm sure you know it. It's not what you know, it's who you know. In other words, what matters the most in getting a job or making a sale or closing a deal isn't your skill or knowledge or qualifications, but your social network. This is the kind of thing that seems to go against our meritocratic culture with all its ideas about hard work and raw talent winning out in the end. But time and again, anecdotal evidence suggests that it's true. And in fact, it works out well in a slightly different sense for most of these disciples. Mary went early on Easter morning and saw the tomb that was empty. And then she went and called Simon Peter and John, the beloved disciple, and they came and they saw the empty tomb too. So they know the truth of the resurrection for themselves. But the other disciples have no idea. They don't get anything out of what they know about the resurrection. But they're very lucky in who they know, because they spend the evening of that Easter day together with the other disciples, with the ones whom they know. And Jesus appears to them and shows them his wounds. And then they come to know the truth of the resurrection as well. But for Thomas, our beloved doubting Thomas, it's different. This story isn't about what he knows, and it's not about who he knows. In a way, each half of this saying gets reversed in Thomas's story. In this story, you might say, it's not what you don't know, it's who knows you. We often talk about the story of doubting Thomas as a parable of faith and doubt, of the difference between trusting in something that you've been told and needing it to be proved to you. And as a story in which all of us, who have not witnessed the resurrection firsthand, find ourselves in the position of Thomas, and in fact, in the position of the ones about whom Jesus said, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." And all of this is true. But I can't help but notice that there's something a little missing from the plot of the story today. Think about the way that it's written. On Easter evening, the evening of Easter day, Jesus appears to the disciples in his resurrected body, still bearing his wounds, which is an interesting sermon for another time. He greets them with a sign of peace. He gives them the gift of the Holy Spirit, and then he disappears. And later, the disciples who were there tell Thomas that they had seen the Lord, and he says that unless he sees Jesus for himself, he will not believe. A week later, the story continues, and again Jesus appears, and immediately he says to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." And I find myself asking the question, how on earth did Jesus know what Thomas had said? He wasn't there to hear Thomas express his doubts on Sunday, to say, "Unless I see the marks, I will not believe." After all, if Jesus had been there to hear what Thomas had said, Thomas wouldn't have said it, because Jesus would have been there. So how are we to imagine the story goes? Do we think that Jesus gives the gift of the Holy Spirit and then disappears, but really he's lurking outside the door and overhears what Thomas says? Do we think that Simon Peter called him up on the phone and told him? Is this just another instance of the Son of God knowing all things, of a sort of miraculous way in which Jesus knows what Thomas has said, even though he wasn't there? Maybe it is. But I wonder if it could be something else as well. I wonder if it's less that Jesus knows what Thomas had said because he is divine and all-knowing, and more that Jesus simply knows Thomas. Do you think maybe he showed up and saw him and just instantly knew what Thomas would need. Look, I already showed these guys. Now you, see the marks in my hands. Put your hand in my side. And offered it freely, without Thomas even needing to ask, without Thomas even expressing his doubts to Jesus. I wonder, in other words, whether the story isn't really about what Thomas doesn't know, or struggles with, or doubts, and more about the one by whom he's known, about the fact that Jesus knows him so deeply that he just comes to him and gives him what he needs. Part of the appeal of the story of doubting Thomas, I think, is that we all inevitably wrestle with doubt from time to time. We all find ourselves, maybe more often than not, in the position of that disciple who's not sure that he believes the good news, who's not convinced that he can accept all the claims these other Christians are making, who struggles with doubt and faith, but, as you'll notice, shows up nevertheless on the next Sunday to be with his people in community, and who finds himself meeting Jesus there, whatever he might think about it. It's easy to take Jesus' words and pat ourselves on the back with them. Have you believed because you've seen me? He says to Thomas. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. That's all of you. Good for all of us, 2,000 years later, who have not seen the proof of the resurrection and yet have come to believe. But the good news that Jesus has for us is even better than that. Because as John says somewhere else, we love because he first loved us. We love God because God first loved us. We seek God because God first sought us. We know God because God first knew us. It's not our responsibility to know or to understand everything about our faith, to know who we are or who God is, or where in the world all of this is going to end up. God knows us even better than we know ourselves. God knows what we need, and God seeks us out and tries to give it to us. This story is not a story about how good we are because we believe in God, even though we haven't seen the proof. It's a story about how good the God is who believes in us, even though we haven't given God much of a reason to sometimes. It's a story that's not about what we know, or who we know, or what we don't know, but about the one who's known us since we were born and guided us all the days of our lives. And it's this God, the one who seeks us and knows us and loves us, who has promised to save us. It's this resurrected God who's seen the worst humanity can do, who's offered to rescue us. It's this wounded God who shows up among us, still bearing the marks in his hands and in his side, who has promised to heal us. Whoever or whatever we believe or don't believe, know or don't know, God knows us as deeply as he knew Thomas and every disciple since. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.